disguises in the past. However, the significance of the mosque has acquired additional meanings in recent years, especially following the popular Palestinian protest, clashes, and war on Gaza last May, which Palestinians tellingly refer to as Saif al-Quds, or Operation of Sword of al-Quds. Historically, Haram al-Sharif, or the Noble Sanctuary, has been at the heart of popular struggle in Palestine, as well as at the center of the Zionist regime policies. Located in the old city of occupied East al-Quds, the sanctuary is considered one of the holiest sites for all Muslims. It has a special place in Islam, as it has been mentioned in the Noble Quran and frequently in the Hadith. The sayings of the Prophet Muhammad. The compound contains several historic mosques and 17 gates, along with other important Islamic sites. Al-Aqsa is one of these mosques. But for Palestinians, the significance of Al-Aqsa has gained additional meaning due to the Zionist regime's occupation, which throughout the years has targeted Palestinian mosques, churches, and other holy sites. For example, during the 2014 Israeli regime war on the besieged Gaza Strip, the Palestinian Ministry of Endowments and Religious Affairs said that 203 mosques were damaged by the Zionist regime's bombs, with 73 being completely destroyed. Therefore, Palestinian Muslims, but also Christians, consider Al-Aqsa, the sanctuary, and other Muslim and Christian sites in Al-Quds a red line that must not be crossed by the fake regime of Israel. Generation after generation, they have mobilized to protect the sites, though at times they could not, including the 1969 when Australian Jewish extremist Dennis Michael Rohan carried out an arson attack in Al-Aqsa. Even the recent raids on the mosque were not confined to the bodily harm and mass arrest of worshippers. On April 15th, the second Friday of Ramadan, much destruction took place at Al-Aqsa, where the mosque's famous stained glass windows were shattered and furniture inside was left broken. The raids on Haram al-Sharif continue at the time of writing the article. The Jewish extremists are feeling increasingly empowered by the protection they are receiving from the Zionist regime's military and the blank check provided to them by influential Israeli politicians. Many of the raids are often led by far-right Israeli Knesset member Itamar Ben-Gvir, Likud politician Yehuda Glick, and former Israeli minister Uri Ariel. Israeli Prime Minister Naftali Bennett is undoubtedly using the raids on Al-Aqsa as a way to keep his often rebellious far-right and religious constituency in line. The sudden registration on April 6th of Idit Silman, a member of Yamina right-wing party, left Bennett, the Zionist regime's prime minister, even more desperate in his attempt to breathe life in his fractious coalition. Once the leader of the Yesha Council, an umbrella organization of West Bank illegal settlements, Bennett rose to power on the back of religious zealots in the occupied Palestinian territories. Losing support of the settlers could simply cost him his post. Bennett's behavior is consistent with those of previous Zionist regime leaders who have escalated violence in Al-Aqsa as a way to distract from their own political woes or to appeal to the Zionist regime's powerful constituency right-wing and religious extremists. In September 2000, then-Israeli regime Prime Minister Ariel Sharon raided the mosque with thousands of Zionist troops, police, and like-minded extremists. He did so to provoke a Palestinian response and to topple the enemy, Ehud Barak. Sharon succeeded, but at a high price, as his visit unleashed the five-year-long Second Palestinian Intifada, also known as Al-Aqsa Intifada. In 2017, thousands of Palestinians protested an Israeli regime attempt at installing security cameras at the entrances of the Holy Shrine. The measure was also an attempt by former Zionist regime Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to appease his right-wing supporters. But the mass protest in Al-Quds and the subsequent Palestinian unity at the time forced the fake regime of Israel to cancel its plans. This time around, however, Palestinians fear that the Zionist regime aims at more than just mere provocations. The Zionist regime plans to impose a temporal and spatial division of Al-Aqsa Mosque. According to Adnan Gheith, the Palestinian Authority's top representative in East Al-Quds, this particular phrase, temporal and spatial division, is also used by many Palestinians as they fear a repeat of Ebrahimi Mosque scenario. Following the killing of 29 worshippers in 1994 at the hands of an Israeli Jewish extremist, Baruch Goldstein, and subsequent killing of more Palestinians by the Zionist regime army at the Ebrahimi Mosque in Al-Khalil, the Zionist regime partitioned the mosque. It allocated a larger space to the Jewish settlers while restricting access to Palestinians who are allowed to pray at certain times and barred at others. This is precisely what Palestinians mean by temporal and spatial division, which has been at the heart of the Zionist regime's strategy for many years. Bennett, however, must tread carefully. Palestinians today are more united in the resistance and awareness of the Zionist regime's designs than at any other time in the past. An important component of this unity is the Palestinian Arab population in historic Palestine, who are now championing a similar political discourse as that of Palestinians in Gaza, the West Bank, and East Al-Quds. In fact, many of the defenders of Al-Aqsa come from these very communities. If the Zionist regime continues with its provocations in Al-Aqsa, it risks another Palestinian revolt as that of May, which tellingly started in East Al-Quds. Appealing to right-wing voters by attacking, humiliating, and provoking Palestinians is no longer an easy task, as was often the case. As the Sword of Al-Quds has taught us, Palestinians are now capable of responding in a unified fashion and, despite their limited means, even putting pressure on the Zionist regime to reverse its policies. Bennett must remember this before carrying out any more violent provocations.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وبه نستعين. Welcome dear listeners to IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program For Humanity, and we are listening to the segment Hollywood, Conditioning of the Subconscious Mind and Extermination of Human Rights. We were talking about how the media influences our mind and how the media overloads our brain with information that when a brain has free time, it gets busy in processing this information. This is Sheikh Ali Hemani from COM. In the last episode, we discussed that how about doing a short experiment, that going and offering prayers or offering our salat after watching some media content, and trying another way where we avoid all media content, rather pay attention to Quran, pay attention to dua, do wudu, recite one page of Quran or even five lines of Quran, and then go and offer our salat, and then see the difference, the impact that media has caused on our brain and how it has overloaded. Let me help you understand a very simple concept here. Imagine I have a computer with me, and in this computer I have a Word file. Now in this Word file, if I copy and paste one page of information, it will quickly copy and paste that one page of information. It won't delay in processing this information and showing it on your screen. But now imagine if I copy and paste 200 pages of information on my Word file, which also has audio in it, which also has video in it, which also has pictures in it. Therefore, the data that I'm trying to paste in my Word file is huge and heavy. When I try and do that, this file is not going to process all the information immediately and show all the data within 5 seconds. It's going to take time because it's copying all this information into the memory. From there, it's going to paste it into Word and organize it and then finally show it on the screen. So it's going to take some time, about 15 seconds to 30 seconds and sometimes even a minute. Why is that happening? That is happening because in the first instance, when you copied just one page, the data you provided was very less. The data was limited, and therefore the system could process it quickly. In the second scenario, you provided extremely large data. And because the data was huge, it took more effort, more time, more processing, more RAM, more energy from the computer to process all that data and pasted in the Word file. This is exactly what happens to the human brain. When the human brain is provided just about enough data, particularly when it comes from media, because media has another inherent flaw, which is the flickering of the screen and the light directly reflecting into our retina and our iris. So keeping in mind that flaw, if our brain is overloaded with data, then it takes much longer for our brain to process all that information, segregate it, organize it, and store it in an orderly manner in our brain, in our memory. And therefore, if I subject myself to a full day of constant input from media and screen time, where I'm watching TikToks, where I'm watching YouTube, where I'm spending time on Facebook, watching short clips from there, listening to audio, listening to music, all this overload of data in my brain is going to cause my brain to struggle to process all this information and store it in place. And that's why you will see that it tires me out. Therefore, after watching YouTube for 1 hour or TikTok for 1 hour, instead of feeling energetic and fresh, I start feeling tired. Why? Because this information overload that needs to be stored. Let's take a quick break, come back and discuss this further.
Dear listeners, you're listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, dear listeners. So we were talking about information overload to our soul and to our brain. So we discussed that if our brain is overloaded with information, it takes longer for it to process. And this is where it is important for us to understand that if I subject myself to a day which is filled with media inputs, right from our music to movies to short clips to TikTok to YouTube to Facebook, then my brain is overloaded with information. And whenever I give the peace time, the free time, the break time to my brain is not resting. Rather, it is still processing all that information that I was providing to it all through the day. And that's why you will see that when you are offering your prayers, when you are in your salat, all these ideas, all these thoughts, all this information, all these images keep flashing in front of your eyes. Why? Because the brain is still processing that data. Or let's look at the other part where you finish the day and you want to sleep. So you go to bed, you lie down on your bed and you're trying to sleep, but you are not able to fall asleep. Why? Because your brain is not at peace. Your brain is not calm. It is still busy processing the information. It is still busy trying to digest the information, organize it and save it. And that's why for an hour or two, you feel restless, you feel sleepless, you're tossing left, you're tossing right, trying to put yourself to sleep. So please understand that media inherently has certain flaws. One of them is the flickering of the screen, constant light that is going into your eyes, including the blue light. You might have seen the research which says that blue light causes problem to the eyesight, problem to the understanding. And that's why they have something called reading light or the warm light or the night mode in the mobile phone or your tablets. So what is it that we want to say of this whole series that we have discussed? That we need to understand that Hollywood, media, corporate world, politicians, all of them are using this Hollywood and media as a source to condition our subconscious mind, to influence our decision making, to influence our choices, to control our free will. And the only source they have, earlier it used to be that we go somewhere and we used to get subjected to conditioning of the subconscious mind. But now they have attained supremacy by providing tablets in our hand, and they're They have entered every single house, every single room, every single person, including the children from 6 months old. So now they are attacking us, literally right into our house, right into our doorstep, right into our backyard, right into our hands. They're attacking the subconscious mind of all the members in the family. So we need to become conscious. We need to become aware of this. And we need to keep track, keep a tap, keep control on the media usage, particularly for the children, particularly for the teens, particularly for those who've not yet reached that shuur, that understanding of the right and wrong. So please understand the methods and techniques being used by Hollywood to condition our subconscious mind and rob us of our free will. Therefore, become aware and choose your free will. Keep your control in your hand and decide what's best for you. Thank you all for listening to me for all these episodes. Fi amanillah. Hope to see you again in future. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa alihi. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa alihi. Allahumma salli ala محمد وآله اللهم صل على محمد وآله 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 صل على محمد وآله
Food for thought.
Salam everybody, and let us bid farewell to Ramadan as taught us by the Prophet's 16th infallible heir, Imam Ja'far Sadiq, peace upon him, at the end of a lengthy supplication in the Divine Court. All praise belongs to Allah, who assisted us to observe the fasting of this month and maintenance of prayers during it, and enabled me to reach the last of its rites.
Join us in this journey. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Cultural news. Social news. Scientific news. Artistic news. With delight.
Appearing like something straight out of a sci-fi movie, this Gundam-style robot lifts off special equipment and carries out maintenance work on out-of-reach railway contact lines in Japan. developed by West Japan Railway Company, JR West, and two other Japanese companies, the humanoid robot can conduct repair work on overhead wires, which are considered high risk for humans. According to JR West, a prototype of this robot can be controlled by human operators through VR helmets and remote controls. It can lift objects up to 40 kilograms in weight with two hands to a height of 10 meters. It was designed to lower the risk of electrocution and falling for workers. The company says it can cut down human labor by a third. The company has been conducting tests since April and expects to put the robot into full service by early 2024.
A child-sized doll screams and rolls its eyes while lying on a table as engineer Hiroki Takimoto looks on calmly. But instead of being a child's toy, the doll is a humanoid robot mimicking critical medical symptoms designed to train dental workers. The robot was co-developed by Japanese robotic startups Team Sock and a local dental school. Pediaroid was designed to stimulate a child's responses when receiving dental treatment, including changes to its medical condition. Using a tablet programmed with different medical conditions, the user is able to send signals to air cylinders installed within the robot's joints to move its entire body, mouth, and tongue to display physical reactions and facial expressions.
Medical workers really need to experience medical emergencies. It's important that they experience a situation where something goes wrong, and that's what it can simulate. As for the future, we would like to further develop it in such a way that various other people who are involved with childcare, such as mothers, elementary school teachers, childcare workers, and nurses, can experience emergency simulations.
Director of Team Sock's engineering division, Yusuk Ishii, said the robot was developed due to the lack of clinical dental training to treat children. Currently, at a hefty price tag of about 25 million Japanese yen, Team Sock hopes to develop the hyper-realistic robot further such that people from other childcare industries, including pediatricians and elementary school teachers, would be able to use it for other emergency situation training. Iran has hosted an iftar dinner in support of Palestine amid a rise in Israel's violence against Palestinian worshippers at the Al-Aqsa Mosque during the holy month of Ramadan. Yusuf Jalali reports from Tehran. Let's check it out.
Turn the pot over to let the tasty maghluba slip into the dish. Maghluba is a Palestinian upside-down rice, usually cooked with chicken or lamb. Now, these Iranian and Lebanese women have taken part in a group cooking of maghluba as a solidarity gesture with Palestinian women amid the escalation of the Israeli violence against Palestinian worshippers at Al-Aqsa Mosque. They say maghluba is not just a delicious food, but a symbol of the downfall of Israel.
Maghluba is indigenous to the Levant area, such as Lebanon, Syria, and especially Palestine. The last stage of the food's recipe is to run over the pot that contains the food. Today, it has become a symbol of victory for Al-Quds and a defeat for Israel.
Turning over the pot symbolizes the downfall of Israel. Interestingly, Israel has imposed a ban on the entry of pots into Al-Aqsa Mosque since they have come to learn about what it means to turn over the maghluba pots.
Since the start of the month of Ramadan, Israeli forces have been assaulting Muslim worshippers at the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound, injuring scores of people. The escalation in tensions has drawn worldwide condemnation, with protesters calling on the UN to take action to end the regime's crackdown against Palestinians.
Palestine is for Palestinians. Israel has been repeating its barbaric behavior towards Palestinians since 7 decades ago, and today it has taken its violence to another level by doubling down on its use of force. I think they are angered by Palestinians' resistance, and that's why they have resorted to violence.
This humanitarian move is one of tens of solidarity gestures staged in Iran and worldwide in support of Palestinians. The event also comes ahead of the International Quds Day, a global pro-Palestine rally that takes place every year on the last Friday of the month of Ramadan.
Enjoy the maghluba and wish Palestinians good luck in their struggle against occupation. Chefs here say, aside from symbolizing the victory of Al-Quds against occupation, this event seeks to raise awareness of the Palestinians' suffering and to call on other nations to jump on the wagon and voice their support for Palestine's resistance. Yusuf Jalali, Tehran.
A museum in France is hosting treasures of Peru, including the famed Machu Picchu, in a unique experience where technology meets archaeology. Visitors can immerse themselves in a vertical tour of Machu Picchu Citadel and see an exclusive exhibit of Peruvian archaeological objects. The collection is arranged chronologically, passing through the extraordinary diversity of some 13 cultures. The collection displays 200 artifacts spanning three millennia, dating as far back as 1500 BC. A large part of the exhibit is dedicated to Peru's Machica civilization with their vase portraits and red ceramics. The museum's curator says the goal was to show that pre-Columbus Peru was far deeper than just the Inca era.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Iran's National Museum is displaying a collection of artifacts that was stolen decades ago, but has finally returned home after a long legal battle. The items, which include sacred figurines, pots and jars, date back to more than 3,000 years ago. They were stolen and sent to the West more than four decades ago. In 1991, the British Museum was seeking to buy the collection from a smuggler residing in Switzerland. The objects, however, were seized by Swiss police and revealed in court in 2008. Since then, Iran had been trying to get the stolen treasures back home.
Under pressure from the Iranian diplomatic apparatus and the official complaints of the National Museum in 2015, the legal process continued, and finally on December 20, 2020, the collection returned to us.
The collection belongs to the northwestern city of Bukhan, which was the home of Manians around the 10th to 7th centuries BC. The Manians were one of the first nomadic tribes to build cities in that area. The director of Iran's National Museum says the effort to recover other stolen artifacts continues. The country is now holding talks with the U.S. and Australia to return ancient objects smuggled over there.
How long could you work at your job? In Brazil, a 100-year-old man has broken the world record for the longest spell working at a single company. Walter Orthman has entered the Guinness World Record books for working at the same fabric company for an astonishing period of 84 years. He started on the factory floor before moving into administration and later on into the sales management. Despite his extraordinary accomplishment, Orthman's advice for those looking for a long and fulfilling professional life is surprisingly routine.
You have to like to work. I started to work with that willingness and fighting spirit. You also have to start working on something you like to do. You can't just do any job to say that you're working. That doesn't work. You're not going to be able to stand it. You have to look for a job that you like to do, and there you won't even feel the time passing. That's what happened with me. I started working here, and I liked it. I worked my way up from point to point until I got to the position I'm in today.
Ortman says his secret to a long life and breaking the record is having a healthy lifestyle and staying away from junk food. He says he avoids sugar and salt as much as possible and tries to keep a diet that is healthy for the mind and soul. In order to stay sharp, Ortman says he does stretches and maintains physical activity.
Agriculture is no exception when it comes to adapting new technologies in the context of changing climate. Now, French farmers in the northwestern suburbs of Paris grow greens in any season using hydroponic farms. Residents of a housing estate have ditched the traditional way of farming to create jobs for their community. Hydroponic farming is a method of growing plants in water, not in soil. It may sound like it would be a complicated process, but it's actually quite straightforward. The system is made of plastic and uses a rich organic ecosystem. The workers use less water than usual and do not even need a teaspoon of soil. One of the employees describes how they turned barren land into a farm.
It used to be a garage where they stored cars, but since there were no more cars, we used it as a dormitory. We listened to music and watched football matches. We used to meet here to have a bit of privacy and breathe, to hide away for a while. But now that it's become a place of work, I'm happy because I'm working.
Hydroponic farms can be used to grow products of all kinds in any region. In this one, farmers are planting all sorts of things, ranging from Peruvian mint to Vietnamese coriander. They hope that the system can be used to help local residents, especially those who need it the most. Magic returns to Belgium with a purple carpet of bluebells covering the undergrowth of Hallerbos woods near Brussels. Each spring, this beech forest turns into a bluebell spectacular, turning the area into a natural wonderland. Millions of these blooming flowers sprout up across the 550-hectare woods, filling the air with their sweet aroma. The short but enchanting blooming phase offers nature enthusiasts a one-of-a-kind experience.
It is an outstanding and magical place because whenever we come, there's an amazing atmosphere. The sunrise was truly beautiful this morning, and we know this offers the opportunity to take great photos and decorate our house. It is a great comfort during these tough times.
Visitors can stroll the winding paths and watch rabbits and deer wandering through the woods. The forest floor blooms for a period of 7 to 10 days. After this time, leaves begin to grow on the trees above them, blocking the sunlight from reaching the flowers. The phenomenon of bluebell forest is not uncommon in Europe, but the Hallerbos greenery is unique for the density and beauty of its blossoms. A huge pink moon has glowed over Chilean skies, mesmerizing stargazers and ordinary citizens alike. The full moon was completely visible over the capital, Santiago. The celestial phenomenon is called a pink moon as it appears in April and is named after an American plant, pink plot, that blooms in spring. The pink moon will shine during the weekend through early Monday and may be visible in most parts of the world. The phenomenon also marks the calendar for different religious festivities around the globe.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today.
الإسلام دينا رضيت بالله ربا وبالإسلام دينا
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, today's special, Salam Alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special under the topic of keeping the spirit of Ramadan alive. Please be with us.
Oh Ramadan, month of mercy you are, welcome Ramadan. Oh Ramadan, oh Ramadan. Month of mercy you are, welcome Ramadan, 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 Ramadan.
Today, Sunday, is the 29th of Ramadan, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 11th of Ordibehisht, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 1st of May, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We open Allah's book, the Holy Quran. This is chapter Ar-Rahman, verses 39 to 42.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم فيومئذ لا يسأل عن ذنبه إنس ولا جان
Then on that day, none will be asked about his sin among men or jinn.
فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ
So which of the favors of your Lord would you deny?
يُعْرَفُ الْمُجْرِمُونَ بِسِيمَاهُمْ فَيُؤْخَذُ بِالنَّوَاصِي وَالْأَقْدَامِ
The criminals will be known by their marks. And they will be seized by the forelocks and the feet.
فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ
So which of the favors of your Lord would you deny?
لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
Following an account of the formative occurrences of resurrection, the blessed verse 39 treats of the state of sinners on that day, saying that jinn and men shall not be questioned concerning their sins, since everything shall be evident on the day of emergence, and faces reflect everything. However, the point is that the day of resurrection shall be a very long day, and man has to pass different paths and stations, and spend some time at each place. In this part, our topic, keeping the spirit of Ramadan alive. We all know that one of the purposes of Ramadan is for us to develop taqwa. Ramadan is like a training period for us. Hence, we shall try to follow the rhythm throughout the whole year. Generally, habits take around 21 days to form. Therefore, after the 30 days of Ramadan, we shall aim that whatever we learned in the month is carried forward to the rest of the year. May Allah keep us on the right path and give us the motivation to make every month as blessed as the month of Ramadan. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa binasta'in. In this episode, we're going to be concerned with our duties regarding the effects of the month of Ramadan in us throughout the year. Since this kind of fasting brings about, thorough fasting or complete fasting brings about the divine attention and divine grace because of our sincere observances of these rites and rituals, it would be very much desirable to receive such grace of such divine grace, not only in the month of Ramadan, which is special, which is especially selected for receiving the divine grace, rather. We find that the month of Ramadan, the effects of the psychological or ritual effects of the month of Ramadan may and should be extended to other year, other months throughout the year. That is, although in other months of the year we are permitted to eat and drink, however, we must be attentive to our religious duties, to the religious capital that we have received throughout observing the Ramadan rituals, and to be able to benefit from this religious capital throughout the year, up to the next Ramadan to come. Because of this, we are expected to practice piety in other months of the year. It would be really pointless to observe religious piety in the month of Ramadan and to ignore it altogether in other months of the year. It means that it would mean that we believe in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only in the month of Ramadan, while Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is present throughout the year, no doubt. And as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is present everywhere and at any time, so we have to believe, we have to behave in such a way that our behavior and our way of, our mode of treating other people indicates that we believe in the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And as such, it's expected to internalize in ourselves the ritual or spiritual effects of the month of Ramadan and the benefit that we receive from this religious capital. Thank you.
Ramadan, month of the Quran, sent by Ar-Rahman, mercy to mankind.
Ramadan, month of the Quran, sent by Ar-Rahman, mercy to mankind. Ramadan, month of the Quran, sent by Ar-Rahman, mercy to mankind.
IRIB English Radio, and today's special you're listening to. Now we have some ways to practice Ramadan values throughout the year. In this part, practice Islamic spirituality in your daily routine. Dear friend, gathering at your local mosque for nightly prayers may be over after Ramadan. However, there are other ways to incorporate faith-based practices in your day-to-day basis besides answering the regular call to prayer. If you live near a mosque, consider praying there during other prayers time besides Friday prayers. Pray as a family to form closer bonds with your parents or your children, living with housemates. Praying together is one way to get to know them better. Make it a point to dua after every prayer and before going to sleep at night. The other way is this one. You can dhikr and supplicate at any time of the day. Try it next time you're stuck in traffic or even during your workouts. And the other one is making time to recite the Quran daily. Accompany your reading with a good translation to build a better understanding of Islam. Previous episodes of today's special that we looked at some ways to promote better health by fighting inflammation, we continue that. While acute inflammation is a normal immune process used to help fight off infections, chronic inflammation can have serious consequences for your health. Research shows that inflammation may be involved in the development of chronic conditions such as heart disease, cancer, and arthritis. Some studies have found that fasting can help decrease levels of inflammation and help promote better health. One study in 50 healthy adults showed that the intermittent fasting for 1 month significantly decreased levels of inflammatory markers. Another small study discovered the same effect when some fasted for 12 hours a day for 1 month.
One of the most important things to keep in mind when we try to maintain our spirituality is, you know, there's a beautiful conversation between the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi and Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib. And this was after the Prophet delivered his famous month of Ramadan sermon. After the Prophet delivered this sermon, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib approaches the Prophet and he asks him, and many of you are familiar with this exchange, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib asked the Prophet, Ya Rasulullah, ma afdalul a'mal fi hadha ash-shahr? What is the best thing to do in this month, in the month of Ramadan? What does the Prophet say? And by the way, the question that the Imam is asking doesn't only apply to the month of Ramadan. This is the best thing that you can do in the month. If it's the best thing to do in the month of Ramadan, then you can imagine that it's probably the best thing to do in life. مَا أَفْضَلُ الْأَعْمَالُ فِي هَذَا الشَّهْرِ? What is the best thing to do in this month? Listen to what the Prophet says. He says, أَفْضَلُ الْأَعْمَالُ الْوَرَعُ عَنْ مَحَارِمِ اللَّهِ. The best thing that you can do is to refrain from committing sin.
Inshallah, we continue our topic that was keeping the spirit of Ramadan alive on another episode of today's special. Until then, we keep you in Allah's protection. Fi amanillah. القرآن ظمآن لوصالك يا رمضان للتوبة والغفران ومجالسة القرآن
نور في الأفق يلوح باب الجنة مفتوح لا يروي عطش الروح إلا باب الريان نور في الأفق
الأفق يلوح باب الجنة مفتوح لا يروي عطش الروح إلا باب الريان
ظمآن ظمآن لوصالك يا رمضان للتوبة والغفران ومجالسة القرآن
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.